Today, I would like to talk about a little history. History means the founder of Tendai teaching in China. And also, if I have time, I would like to explain the whole system of the teaching mentioned by this four Tendai teaching in this book. Page 31, you can see a diagram. Page 31. Page 31. Tendai, I would like to explain this diagram, which is Tendai five periods and eight teachings based on Chogwan's the fourfold teaching. Okay. I think there are two important two turning points which Chinese Buddhism had to face when the Buddhist scriptures had been translated by Buddhist priest. one is the Chinese Buddhism found a misunderstanding of central teaching based on emptiness, because Chinese people understood the teaching of emptiness in terms of Chinese ancient thought, the Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu. After the translation of Buddhist scriptures in Chinese version, many Chinese properties, the Buddhist scriptures translated into Chinese at those days. Almost the third century and fourth century. I think as you know pretty well, Buddhism was transmitted, was brought into China the 67 AD or so. And in the third and fourth century, the priest named Doan, and Aeon, E-O-N, Aeon, developed very much Buddhist teaching of those days. So, Doan introduced Kumara Dzogchen, one of the outstanding translators, to emperor. And the emperor invited him to China, Kumara Dzogchen, and let him translate Buddhist scriptures, supported by emperor. So the Buddhist scriptures could be translated by Kumara Dzogchen and Genjo. So the uh, people, the Buddhists gradually realized the misunderstanding of the original teaching, central teaching, based on emptiness. So particularly Sojo, S-O-J-O, who lives 384 to 414. He died almost 30 years old. I think you have the book written by him in English version. I forgot the name, but in Japanese, Joran. He was noted for the first person who understood very well the emptiness properly. So he mainly tried to introduce right understanding of emptiness into Chinese Buddhist. That is one point. The second point, I think Chinese in Chinese Buddhism, Buddhism was transmitted into China from India, not systematically. Whatever kind of scriptures they found, they tried to bring to China and started to translate into Chinese. So they didn't know. They didn't know the systematical Buddhist teaching. So their thought, Buddhist thought, were very mixed up. They didn't know. So the more Buddhist scriptures were handed down to China, the more they realized it was necessary for them to systematize Buddhist teaching. So that is a period of the time of the 3rd century and 4th century. They tried to understand Buddhist teaching philosophically and systematically. So mainly the Buddhist teaching had been seen in terms of based on the Prajnaparamita teaching. So there are mainly five the system of the scriptures. First one is families of the Prajnaparamita sutras. This teaching was very important for them because it is a central teaching based on the emptiness. And also next, the Avasandika Sutra, because Avasandika Sutra emphasizes the intrinsic teaching of the truth, intrinsic truth, very pure, very essential teaching of Buddhism, which guides the people to touch directly intrinsic nature of the truth. This is Avasandika. And the next, Saddhama Pundarika Sutra, who stresses the unity of the existence as oneness. And also Nirvana Sutra, which mentions eternal life of Buddha. So those Buddhist teachings systematically were understood by Chinese Buddhists at those days. And then Qi, the founder of the Tendai In Japanese, we say chigi, chigi, C-H-I-G-I, chigi, who lived 538 to 597, systematized the Buddhist teaching in a different way, based on Saddhama Pundarika Sutra. So this is Tendai teaching. Tendai teaching. So let me say next a brief history of Chigi, founder of the Tendai teaching. Okay. Is that okay? There are two points.
I wasn't clear whether you were saying that the Chinese discovered and the Chinese misunderstood emptiness.
Uh-huh.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay. How is it that they misunderstood?
I think the according to Lao Tzu and Chen Tu, I think nothingness is kind of the nothingness was understood as not exactly nothingness, but something entity, something kind of pure entity, so-called emptiness, from which being originates, being emerges. And beings means a phenomena. Phenomena emerge and return to emptiness. So emptiness is not exact emptiness. Emptiness is a kind of essential entity of existence as a creator, kind of a creator. Okay? But in Buddhism, Buddhist teaching of emptiness is completely different. Emptiness is, of course, Tendai teachings is based on philosophical teaching, emptiness and provisional existence. Emptiness, provisional existence, and middle way. Three system, three philosophical points, okay, in ten dimensions. So emptiness is in the Tendai, in a general speaking in Buddhism, is not an essential entity of existence, exactly nothing. Because emptiness, the mentioned in a word or the grasped by thought or philosophical sense is essence of existence, which is nothing but provisional existence. So essence of emptiness mentioned in the word is already provisional existence. Do you understand? Real essence is nothing to say. But if you say emptiness, essence, essential, the body, essential body, essential nature of emptiness is already something provisional. Okay? That's why emptiness and provisional the existence and middle way. That three system is Tendai teaching. Is that okay? That's misunderstood by Chinese Buddhist. Is that alright? Okay. Let's say the history of Chigi. I think you can read the introduction of this book. I think you can see Tendai the history of Tendai, and also you will understand a little bit of the history of Chigi. But I would like to say a little bit briefly. Chigi was born in Kayo, K-A-Y-O, in Hunan, prefecture.
Hunan province.
So he became a monk at the age of 18, in 556 AD. And he studied Saddama Pundarika Sutra. I think you can have an English version of a threefold Lotus Sutra. That is the three major scriptures in Tendai. One is the Sutra of Innumerable Meanings, you can see. And also, second is the Sutra of the Lotus Flower of the Wonderful Law. And third, the Sutra of Meditation on the Bodhisattva Universal Virtue. I think you can you will find those three scriptures in that book. So he studied the threefold Lotus Sutra, and at the age of 23, in 561, he stayed at Mount Taiso, in Honan province. He studied the Lotus Sutra and learned the method to attain enlightenment under the guidance of Eshi, who lived 515 to 577. Essie's teacher was Edmon, E-M-O-N, who was Nagarjuna's, one of the Nagarjuna's disciples. But Tendai lineage is, in terms of a teaching, quality of a teaching, I think Nagarjuna was the founder of the Tendai teaching. And the second is Emon. Nagarjuna is the founder, and Emon and Eshi, and then Chi'i. Okay, so Eshi is Chi'i's teacher. But he emphasizes three observations in one mind. Three observations means one is the all-knowing wisdom and the way-seed wisdom. And third is all-knowing and the way-seed wisdom. Corresponding to emptiness and provisional existence, and also middle way. All-knowing is the wisdom of Shubhakas and the Pratika Buddha. All-knowing is wisdom which we can see exactly, properly
the essence, essential nature of existence, so-called emptiness. So that is the wisdom of Shrivaka and Puratika Buddha. That is first wisdom. Second wisdom is the way seed wisdom. That is the wisdom which causes us to see a phenomenal existence or the phenomena of existence as clear as we can. That's why the way sees wisdom. In other words, the differential wisdom. So that wisdom is we can see by which we can see through the real meaning, true meaning of phenomenal world. Okay? Properly. And then you can get into the truth of emptiness. So that's why we say second wisdom is the way seed wisdom. In Japanese, do shu ji. Do is the way, and shu is seed wisdom. Or sometimes, do chi, the way wisdom. And also, third is the unity of all-knowing and the way seed wisdom. Unity. So, that is Buddha's wisdom. Second one is wisdom of Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva can handle the phenomenal existence properly and deeply, nurturing and cultivating the seed of the way, which guides all sentient beings to the truth of emptiness. That is Bodhisattva wisdom, so called the way seed wisdom. And the third one is unity of all knowing and the way seed wisdom, which is Buddha, the wisdom of the Tathagata, which guide the people to they depend on all knowing, neither depend on all knowing nor depend on the way seed wisdom. And nevertheless, his life is people's life is based on all knowing wisdom and also the way seed wisdom. But not depend, they don't depend on, they don't attach to either one of them. But life, their life was completely alive, fully. That is three wisdom. That was those the observation. Those observation of the world through the three wisdom can work in one mind. Okay? One mind. One mind means one mind is if you say emptiness. The rest of the two, middle way, and also provisional existence can be included. if you see human life in terms of a middle way, you think emptiness and also provisional existence can be included. So all one. The Dogen Zenji mentions in a different way, when one is when one is manifested, the other one is in darkness. So when you see the gassho in terms of its own full function, that time it's not necessary to say that full function of gassho based on emptiness and provisional existence. It's not necessary. So exactly, functioning of the gassho, that's it. Totally. Without attaching to form of emptiness or teaching of emptiness and provisional beings. So in terms of provisional being, so-called form of gassho, I think it's not necessary to disevaluate. No, it's not necessary. Not evaluate properly.
Make too low.
Devalue.
That means make something low value.
Yes. Well, if you see the form of gassho and think we should accept the form of gassho fully, because form of gassho is supported by emptiness and also middle way, which means full function of gassho beyond form and emptiness. This is a form of gassho. This is a form of gassho which we should deal with. Okay, that's why I mentioned always the form doesn't have any fault. It really depends on the person, how much we can give the quality to the form you are dealing with. Okay? When you devalue, anyway, form of gassho, form of a tape quarter, form of your five scandals, well, your life doesn't work. Not problem within the form of the tape quarter, form of your five scandals. So that is three observations in one mind. Okay? Is that alright? That is Eshi, the Chi is a teacher, anyway, build up his teaching. Right. And next, Chi Yi lived in the Gakkan Temple, Gakkan Temple in Kinryo, Kinryo. For the space of 8 years. At that time, he taught the Lotus Sutra and Daichi Doron, means Mahaprajnaparamitopadesha, which seems to be Hekajiten means encyclopedia, kind of encyclopedia of Buddhism. You can learn the many, many words were collected there. And the Zazen based on the Shidai Zenmon, learning Zen one by one. And at the age of 38, in 575 A.D., he lived his life at Mount Tendai, 15 Thai for the space of 11 years. So he went to the kind of Mount Tendai from city life, his city life. Partly because of increasing of the numbers of becoming the monks as his disciple, while decreasing the numbers of the awakened monks. So there are many monks who wanted to become a monk, but decreasing the number of enlightened monks. So that's why he seriously reflected upon his life and went to Mount Tendai for the space of 11 years, and also partly because of avoiding the dangerous atmosphere of suppression of Buddhism brought on by Emperor Wu of Northern Chou, C.H. Northern Chou, in 574. So those reasons, by those reasons, he went to the mountains and lived there for 11 years. During these years, Huzhenji Temple was built in 578 at Mount Tendai, and the Kanjo, K-A-N-J-O, who lived 561 to 632, became first monk of Qi in he became a monk in 583. And also Qi wrote the Hokkai Shidai, means learning the Dhamma word one by one. Full name is Hokkai Shidai Shomo, means guidance to learn the Dhamma world one by one. This is a book, name of title of the book, and also another book. It was the Shoshikan, one fascicle of abridgment of Shamatha and Vipassana. Shamatha and Vipassana. Okay, and Qi was invited by Qi's noble family to stay at Kotakuji Temple in 585 and give his talk on Saddhama Pundarika Sutra. In 587, Kanjo, Qi's disciple, took a note of Qi's talks on the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra and made a book. Its title is Hokke Monku, Commentary on the Sentences and Phrases of Lotus Sutra. And also Chi wanted to the Yoshu in Changsu province in China in 589 and gave the Jukai ceremony to the Emperor Yao, Wai Yao, in 591. So the Emperor gave the posthumous title named the Tisha Daishi, or the great teacher of the awakened, of the awakened. That means Tisha Daishi, the great teacher of the awakened. The in, so Qi is called, in other words, Tisha Daishi, the teacher of the awakened. In 592, Qi came back his native town, Keishu, and built Gyokusenji Temple, where he taught his philosophical and practical aspect of the teaching. According to Hokke Genji, the profound meaning of the Prajna Pandora Sutra, Saddhama Pundalika Sutra, which emphasizes the philosophical aspect of the Buddhist teaching. So he taught the philosophical teaching based in terms of the Hokke Genji, the profound meaning of Lotus Sutra in 593, and also Makashikan, Maha, Shamatha, and Vipassana, which emphasizes the practical aspect of Buddha's teaching in 594. The in 595, he went to Yoshu by invitation of the king and taught the Yuma Kyo Bimala Kyuri Sutra and made the book of Bimala Kyuri Genji, the profound meaning of Bimala Kyuri Sutra. He went back to the Mount Tendai and passed away. In the history, I think he listened to the his disciples' chant of Saddhama Pundalika Sutra and the Sutra of Innumerable Lifelong of Tathagata. And was mindful of welcoming Amitabha and Avalokiteshvara on the actually end of his death, his life. He was 60 years old. So after Qi's death, what happened? So in 601, he died at 597. So in 601, Emperor Yao built the Kokuseiji Temple at Mount Tendai, regarded as the headquarters of Tendai School Order. So there are two types of his works. One is the works written by him, and also the works compiled his talks with commentary. So commentary of his talk, kind of a commentary of his talk. The works written by himself, written by him, were mainly Hokkai Shidai Zenmon, three values of Hokkai Shidai Zenmon, Hokkai Shidai Shomon, means a guide to learn the Dhamma world one by one, and also Shoshikan, a guide to shamatha and vipassana. That is one value, one fascicle, and another one is Jomyo Genji, means Genji means profound meaning. Jomyo means translation of Vimala Kyuri Sutra. Vimala Kyuri means Jomyo, pure name, pure phenomena. So Jomyo Genji means of the profound meaning of Vimala Kyuri Sutra, 10 fascicles. That is the main works written by him. And the commentary on his talk, the works compared his talk with the commentary were mainly Hokkai Genji, means the profound meaning of the Dhamma Pundarika Sutra, and also the sentences and also phrases of the Dhamma Pundarika Sutra with commentary. So name is Hokke Monku, means a commentary on sentences and phrases of the Dhamma Pundarika Sutra. And also Makashikan means the Maha, the Shamatha and Vipassana. Those three are major works compiled by his disciple named Kanjo, first disciple Kanjo. So threefold Tendai teaching, that is Hokke Genji, a profound meaning of and also Vipassana. Okay. Those are major threefold Tendai teaching. Okay. I told you the family trees of Tendai school. First is as a founder, Nagara Jr. and Emon and Eshi, and also next is Chigi. Emon's history didn't exist, so we don't know who he was. But Emon was one of the Nagara Jr.'s disciple. And Eshi lived 515 to 577, who established his own particular teaching, the beginning of Tendai teaching, Chi-yi's teacher. And Chi-yi and Chi-yi and A-yi and Gen-ro and then Tan-nen. Between the Chi-yi and Tan-nen, Tendai teaching didn't flourish pretty well. In other words, Tendai teaching was stagnant, kind of a stagnant water. After Chi-yi found out the Tendai school in China, Tendai teachings was beginning to decline. One reason was that Tendai school too much depend on Emperor Wu, Emperor Wu's support. Emperor Yao. Their fortune of Sui dynasty, Sui, was beginning to decline due to Emperor Yao's bold activities of domestic and also diplomatic political policy and his personal life, such as building a great tunnel and repairing the Great Wall in China, developing the area of Central Asia, facilitating the relationship of Japan and many countries of the Southern Sea area, building a magnificent palace and so on. So on one hand, the scale of his works was enormously large. On the other hand, it brought on the poverty of the people and gave them a cause to hate him. Revolt broke out in many places in China on the opportunity of failure of subduing Korea. In 618, the Emperor Yao was assassinated by his retainer, and Sui dynasty was replaced by Tang dynasty. In 619, after the Sui emperor of 40 years, that's the Sui empire, after the Sui empire of 40 years. So Kanzhou, the first the disciple of Ji Yi, didn't realize the change of the times well, because he lived at the turning point of Sui dynasty and the Tang dynasty. This is one reason. Second reason was that Tendai teaching was left behind the new atmosphere of the times and the society because of the arrival of a new Buddhist age brought by Genjo's translation of the scriptures. Genjo means Su'an, Chang, Chu'an, S and H-S-U-A-N dash C-H-U-A-N-G, who lived 600 to 664. In Japanese, we call Genjo, one of the outstanding translators. Kumara Juba, Genjo, Bodhisattvas, are great translators. By Genjo's translation of the scriptures in Tang Dynasty. But however, the decline of Tendai teaching didn't mean to ignore the teaching, but to be adopted by the other Buddhist schools of Avasantika school and Hosso school, Zen, esoteric schools, etc., in order to establish basic systematic teaching of individual school. So Tendai teaching in China was very broad, has a broad quality, enormous quality, from which many schools, Buddhist schools, developed from that. So it has always been called back in any ages of Buddhist history how important Tendai teaching is considered. And also Chinese Tendai schools was handed down to Japan. The founder's name is Saicho, and Saicho found the Tendai school in Japan at the Mount Hiei, which exists now in Japan, where major founders of new Buddhism at Kamakura area studies at the Mount Hiei and Tendai teaching first. And then Nichiren, founder of Nichiren School, and Shindan, founder of Shinshu Pure Land School, Zen, Dogen Zenji, founder of Soto Zen, and also Honen, the founder of Jodo Shinshu Pure Land School. Honen is Shindan's teacher. Those teachers studied at Mount Hiei and the Tendai teaching first. So they, in Japanese Tendai school, is a little different from, little different taste from Chinese Tendai. But in this book, I think the general point of Tendai teaching in China . So, do you have questions? That is a brief teaching, a brief explanation of Qi's history. Your question?
When we speak of Bodhidharma, just Bodhidharma?
Bodhidharma?
Yeah, when we speak of Bodhidharma in China. Mm-hmm. So, where, you know, how would you say sort of that personage fits in Tendai?
No, Bodhidharma is in Zen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bodhidharma belongs to the Zen lineage.
Okay.
Nagarjuna usually was respected as a founder of Tendai lineage, Tendai family tree,
right,
and also Avasantika lineage, Avasantika family lineage, and also Puran school's lineage.
Okay.
So Nagarjuna was a great guy anyway, because he built up the essential central teaching of Buddhism. His history was very interesting. You know, have you ever read? His history was really interesting, his life. Well, anyway, so he was really respected by many Buddhist schools. So even the Zen lineage, the Yarajuna's Bodhisattva, you know.
Tika
and Bodhidharma were contemporaries, lived at the same time? No? In China?
Yeah, approximately.
China and Bodhidharma went to the China of 6th century or so? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also Tiki died the 579 maybe, I don't know. I don't know whether they met each other in China for the same age.
And there was three teachers between Nagarjuna and Tike?
Yeah, T.E., yeah.
Three teachers?
Yeah. Nagarjuna, Emon, and Eshi. And T.E. So T.E. is historically founder of Tendai School in China. In Japan, Saicho we call it. But you know the term, another name, Tendai, Saicho, Dengyo Daishi. I think you can find a book. Oh, do you know the title of that book? Saicho.
Oh, yes, Saicho. Saicho by David Chappell.
Oh. You will find the book Saicho, who was the founder of Tendai in Japan.
Something seems fishy historically because in our lineage there's 14 people between Nagarjuna and Bodhidharma, but the Tendai lineage is only four. Mm-hmm. So, either Zen people live very short, they live very long, or it's not historical.
Didn't Nagarjuna live 500 years?
No, Nagarjuna, historically we believe Nagarjuna lived 150 to 250. 150 to 250. So 100 years old. Enormous guy.
She said there were five systems of scriptures, and I only heard four of them. The Prajnaparamita, Avatamsaka, Lotus Sutra, and Nirvana Sutra. And what was the other one? You said there were five, and I only got
four. But in the Tendai teaching built by the TE is a little different from general understanding of Buddhist teaching by Chinese at those days. That is five periods and eight teachings. That is a system, a whole overall system of Tendai teaching. At page 31, you can see. More. Let's see the diagram 1 at page 31. 10.5 periods and 8 teachings based on Chag 1's 10.5 Su Chao Yi. 5 periods. First one is Kegon Hue of Fa Yen and Deer Park Expanded Wisdom, Lotus and Nirvana. This is 5 periods. Anyway, Tendai and Chi-Yi tried to systematize the teaching according to the scripture built at a certain age, okay, in terms of quality of Buddhist teaching. But lately, we have found lots of scriptures and knew clearly, we have known clearly what ages the individual scriptures was compiled. So according to this systematized of teaching is not exactly right, but it doesn't matter because he tried to systematize the Buddhist scriptures in terms of a quality of individual scripture, not ages, in historical sense. So from this point, I think this system is still good lessons for us. So he put the Avasantika Sutra first because Avasantika Sutra teaches a very intrinsic nature of existence which tries to guide the people to touch the truth directly. So it's kind of tasting milk coming directly from a cow. Okay. Very direct. Which is a kind of standing on the top of a high mountains and seeing overall picture of cities and nations and the whole world directly. And that is Avasantika Sutra, the quality of Avasantika Sutra. So Avasantika Sutra, I think Buddha first teaches Avasantika Sutra, but it's very difficult for the Buddhist to understand. So sometimes Avasantika Sutra mentions some of them were completely dumb, has ears not to listen.
Deaf.
They were sitting there, but they didn't understand. So they were exactly deaf. You know, they look like deaf. They stood there. They sat there and listened to the Avasantika Sutra. And delivered by Buddhists, but most of the people didn't understand it. So the people looked like a deaf. This sutra mentions like that. So how difficult it was for the people to understand truth directly. And also, That's why on the left side it says sudden, the fourfold method of convergence, sudden and gradual, secret and variable, okay. And there is a fourfold method of conversion, we say, okay. Keiji Shikyo in Japanese, Keiji Shikyo, And on the right side, we say, here says, fourfold doctrines of conversion. That is Tripitaka, shared, distinctive, complete. Okay? So, Buddhist teaching was systematized in terms of, what would you say, form of a Buddha's teaching, Buddha's preach, you know. And then we say that is a fourfold method of conversion. Okay. Okay. Let me say five periods. Let me say, okay. Kegon Fuyuen Fuyen Abhasanik Sutra, that is a kind of to taste the milk, very fresh milk coming from the cow directly. That is Abhasanik Sutra. Fuyen, and also next is Deer Park, means Agama. Agama, Nikayas, four system of Nikayas there. Collecting original the Buddha's preaches. Okay? You know, the Divan Kaya, Samyutta Nikaya, and we can have a book in the library. So, that's why in the first time Buddha teaches the Fuyen of the Abhasanika Sutra, but he found many people who didn't understand it. So that's why next he tried to explain Buddhism in a different way. That is Agama, okay? So Agama is set up in the second. So Agama, that is that's why according to on the left side it's gradual. So very naturally, the Agama tried to guide the people to the enlightenment gradually through Agama. And next expanded is means a general Buddhist scripture, But as a typical scriptures, maybe it is the what would you say, Vimana Kirti Sutra, okay, Vimana Kirti Sutra. So Vimana Kirti, so the Agama is a kind of refreshment which people can drink a little bit easily. Okay? So, the expanded, in terms of expanded, I think this is the Vimana Kirti or Sutra or general Buddhist teaching, the scriptures. And also next is that is the Vimana Kirti Sutra and the general Buddhist scriptures are called the secret on the left side. Secret is what the secret is that the classification of a secret means Buddhist scriptures is expanded to people whether the people understood or not. Scripture is penetrated. Scriptures influence people's life very much beyond their understanding or not. Okay. So that is classification of Buddhist scriptures, so-called secret. But Next variable means according to the individual personality. I think some listener understands the Buddhist scripture. Some of the listeners don't understand. You know, so Buddhist scriptures are accepted by individual who are listeners. Okay, so that is variable classification of Buddhist scriptures, which is called variable. So Prajnaparamita, the first rank is Prajnaparamita. Which emphasizes the central teaching of philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, which is called emptiness. So it is pretty difficult to understand. So some of them understand, some of them don't understand. So that's why Prajnaparamita Sutra is put forth on the fourth rank. And also next is Lotus and Nirvana. Lotus Sutra is emphasis on the unity of phenomena and truth. Unity of phenomena and truth. So the Lotus Sutra is very important in the further Tendai teaching. So the Lotus Sutra is a kind of Buddhist scripture which try to save people who missed the chance to listen to Avasamika Sutra, Agamas, and general Buddhist teaching, and also Prajnaparamita. There are many individuals who missed chance to listen to Buddhist scriptures. So later, at the fifth rank, Buddha tried to present the Saddhamma Pundarika Sutra, which he tried to give it to the people who missed the chance to meet Buddhist scripture. Kind of a greener. So Buddhist scripture and Lotus Sutra is a kind of greener.
Fresher.
Huh?
You mean more fresh.
Now greener means picking up greenings.
Greening, yeah.
G-L-E-A-N-I-N-G-S. Greenings. Saddhamma Pundarika expressed the compassion, gives compassion over the all people who missed opportunity to listen to meet the Buddha's teaching. So that's why later, that's why Lotus Sutra is put to the fifth rank, because later Buddha tried to save all sentient beings. So that's why on the right side it says additional teaching. It says additional teaching. Okay? You know, Buddha's teaching is very important. Buddha and the Bodhisattva's kind of a greener. G-L-E-A-N-E-R, greener. You know, I had the opportunity to have a conversation with one of the monks in Japan. He said, Zen looks like to teach the special people in United States who didn't fit into American society in the usual sense, and trying to escape from American society. So, the Zen Buddhism is a little bit funny, you know. Do you understand that one? So I said, who save those people, whoever they are, you know, greener or failure. Whoever they are human beings who are entitled to live in this world. Why the Buddha mentions about compassion and wisdom, extended into everyone's without exceptions. So Buddhism, Zen Buddhism accepts those greetings. What's wrong with it? You know? You know, the in 1960s and those days, you know, in San Francisco, so many churches, many Buddhist temples didn't accept hippies. But Zen temple anyway accepted. So people say, people criticize, particularly Japanese congregation, they criticized us, you know, you are stupid because we accept it. But that is very important for us, you know. It doesn't, don't discriminate anyway. Whoever they are, we should accept it and teach. That is the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra anyway. So that's why Saddhama Pundarika is the most pretty important Buddhist scriptures. Nichiren schools really depends on. Well, I would like to say more, but we don't have time. Please read the introduction, okay? By next time, the introduction started from page 21st, okay? Is the introduction. Page 21st, 21 to page 42. So this is the introduction. Okay. So from the next, I would like to go into the outline of the Tendai 4-4 teachings.